Parshas Korach. We see in Parshas Korach, after the rebellion, in the parasha after the rebellion of Korach and his followers, where 14,700 people died in a magefa, in a plague, the parasha continues. And we find in Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Tez Zayin, it begins and it says, Vayedaber Hashem, Moshe Lemor Hashem, spoke to Moshe and he said, Daber Bnei Yisrael, speak to Bnei Yisrael. V'kach me'itom mate mate leves av me'es kol nesi ehem leves avoysam shem asar matois ish es shemo tichtoiv al mate. You should go and you should collect 12 staffs from all the leaders and you should write their name on each one. 12 separate staffs, each with a different name. And then the psukim continue and they tell us how Moshe took all the staffs. And Aaron had a staff as well. His staff was amongst the other ones. And if we continue, we look in Pasuk Chavez, it says, V'yonach Moshe es hamatos ifnei Hashem ba'olamoyed, that Moshe Rabbeinu puts all the staffs in front of Hashem in the Olamoyed, the Ola Eidos. And it says, V'yihi mimacharas, on the next day, V'yavoy Moshe came el Ola Eidos to the tent of testimony. V'hine parach Mate Aron. And the staff of Aron is the one that blossomed, that produced the flower. Because earlier, Hashem said that take all the 12 staffs, and the one staff that will produce a blossom, that will produce a flower, that is the person whom I'm going to choose. If you go back to Pasuk Chaf, it says, V'haya ish asher evchar. That person who evchar, bechira, that person who I will choose, Mateu, his staff, Yifrach, it will blossom. And then, once and for all the complainers should subside. No more complaints. It's clear this is the chosen leader, the Kohen Gadol. And it was Aaron's staff who produced that blossom, produced that flower. And if you look at Pasuk Chafei, it says, Vayomer Moshe, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Hashem said to Moshe, take that staff back now. And you should place it in front of the Eidos as a mishmeres. That staff should be kept now as an oath, as a sign to all of those complainers that they should realize that Aaron HaKohen, he was the one who was clearly chosen. Rashi there says, in Pasuk Chafei, L'mishmeres lo'os l'zikaron shebacharti ba'aron. It should be a remembrance that I chose Aaron. And there should be nobody else to complain and to say, no, really, why was it Aaron? It should have been me. No, Aaron was the clear chosen leader to be Kohen Gadol. And we see that again from the fact that Moshe brought the staff back. Hashem told him, you should bring the staff back before the Eidos, and it should be a mishmeres, it should be a safekeeping, it should be kept as a sign forever. Now, if we take a look at the Drash Moshe, Moshe Feinstein on the Parsha, he quotes the Pasuk, which tells us, Parach Mati Aron Levis Levi Vayotza Perach Vayotzitzitz Vayigmoshkeit, that after all the staffs were placed, in the Ola Eidos, and Moshe Rabbeinu came back the next day, we see that whose staff was it that produced that blossom, that flower? It was Aaron. But the pasuk also tells Vayatzitz tzitz. It also budded a bud. Vayigmol shkedim. It developed shkedim. Shkedim are almonds. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says he analyzed this pasuk, and he says that if you take a look at a Gemara in Yuma, there's a Gemara in Yuma on Amud Beis. And the Gemara says like this. The Gemara is quoting a Braisa. And in the Braisa it says, Mishinignaz Aron, that for when the Aron was hidden, Ganuz, right? The Aron, meaning where they kept the Eidos. Mishinignaz Aron, Nignaz Imo, Tzentenes Haman. Along with the Aron was also hidden the Tzentenes Haman, that was the jar of man that they had kept from when they're in the Midbar. Vitzluchis Shemen HaMishcha, they also had a flask of oil for anointing. Umakelo Shel Aron Ushkedeo Perchel. And also hidden away was the staff of Aaron with its shkedim, with its almonds, uperchel, and its blossoms, its flowers. So we see one of the things that was hidden away was the staff of Aaron with its almonds and flowers that were on it. So now, Rav Moshe points out, so we see that you have a staff, and after the almonds developed, the prachim, the blossoms, the flowers, remained on the staff. And that, Rav Moshe points out, he points us to a Tosos Yeshanim, which is found in Yuma, it's found on the side of the Daf in Yuma. And the Tosos Yeshanim asks a question. Tosos Yeshanim says, Timihani, he says, it's a bewilderment. Lama maskir uparchel. Hello, gamal shkedim? Tosos Yeshanim says, I don't understand. How can the Brisa say that the parchel, that the blossoms, the flowers, were also there as well? They're also hidden away as well. Doesn't it say that the almonds developed? So the yigmal shkedim? Gamal shkedim? Doesn't it say the almonds developed? Now, clearly, Tosos Yeshanim is implying that the general nature of the almonds is that first comes the blossom, the flower, and then the almond grows, and the flowers fall away. They wither away, they fall off. That's the natural process of the almond. And therefore, at the time when this staff would be hidden away, it should only have almonds on it. There should be no flowers there. The flowers come first, the almond grows, and the flowers fall off. That's just the nature. That's how things work. And that's the question of the Tosos Yeshanim. Now, Rav Moshe works with that question, and Rav Moshe gives an answer that is very impactful, very relevant for everyday lives. So again, working with this premise, this question, that why is it that after the almonds had developed, the flowers, the blossoms, didn't fall away? They remain there as well. Isn't that the norm, that they should wither away, they should fall away, and the almonds are what remains by themselves? Sir Moshe says, Ach haya zeh neis shenisharu gam haprachim. It was a neis. He says it was pashut an neis that the flowers, the blossoms remained along there with the almonds. The way of nature, the normal way, is that the blossoms, the flowers should fall away once the almonds develop. But Hashem made a neis that the flowers should remain there along with the almonds. Now, why is this? Says Rav Moshe, V'tzarech lahavin, le'ezet tam nasa neiseh. Why does Hashem make this neis? Acha tam hu, she'ri'anu b'zeh she'parche kedusha einem noivlin ve'einu kalim li'olam. Mehine pri ha'mitzvah hu asiyas ha'mitzvah, gufa v'haprachim heim devarim hemeviyim le'zeh. He explains as follows, that the prachim, the flowers, the blossoms, those are blossoms of Kedusha. Meaning what? That when a person, he does a mitzvah. So the fruit is the actual mitzvah. The fruit is the mitzvah. Right? A person puts on tefillin, a person learns Torah, a person takes a lulav, the actual mitzvah that we do, that is what we call the fruit. That's the fruit. That is the fruit. But the prachim, the blossoms, the flowers, are what bring us to the fruit. It's what gets to the fruit. When something grows, it first grows a flower, and then the fruit develops after that. So it's the prachim, the blossoms, which bring us to the fruit. So when in terms of a mitzvah, The mitzvah is the fruit. But everything that led up to the performance of that mitzvah is what we call the prachim, the blossoms. And explains to Moshe, those blossoms, those flowers that helped us get to that mitzvah, those are full of kedusha. And they never wither away. Even though it's true when it comes to nature, and when it comes to the vegetation life, when something, the fruit grows, the flowers wither away, the blossoms wither away. When it comes to mitzvos, all that we put into that mitzvah, everything that got us up to the mitzvah, all the effort and the energy we put out in order to produce that mitzvah, that fruit, never withers away. It never falls away. It remains forever. He says, and that is the opposite when it comes to Devar Gashmi. When it comes to something which is just physical, the flower, the blossom, it's just a way to produce the fruit. But once the fruit's there, the blossom just falls away, withers away, it's gone. But when it comes to Dvarim HaKadosh, when it comes to holy things, when it comes to Ruchnis, when it comes to mitzvos, all of the blossoms, everything that we did to get us to the point to be able to perform the mitzvah, right? When it comes to tefillin, when it comes to tefillah, right? A person, he put in the effort, he pushed himself, he got out of bed, he walked to shul. All of his tircha, all the energy that he put into being able to get to the point where he can actually perform the mitzvah. There's schar for that also. And that schar doesn't just go away. It's not just the schar of the mitzvah itself, but it's everything that was put into being able to get to the point of performing the mitzvah. Whereas when it comes to something that's gashmi, right? A person's gonna, you know, produce, he's gonna cook a fabulous meal. So the schar, in a sense, is the enjoyment of eating that meal. But all the effort he put into cooking and buying and shopping, it falls away. It was just to get to the point that he could eat that food. He could have the enjoyment of that tasty meal. But all the effort he expounded to get to that point now is meaningless. It means nothing. It all falls away. There's no schar from that. As opposed to a mitzvah, no. Rav Moshe says, V'yedinon, mizeh shegam ha'prachim nisharu kayam min li'olam. Then when it comes to the prach, when it comes to the flowers, the blossoms of a mitzvah, nisharu, they remain, kayami, they remain there, li'olam, forever. Kol hatircha, all the effort, v'atzar, and the pain, shebal loy, that came to a person, l'kayim, a mitzvah, to perform a mitzvah, it wasn't easy, sometimes not easy, to pull himself out of bed, to go to daven, or to go to the base medrash. Maybe it's raining outside. Or maybe it's a beautiful day, but he'd rather be doing something else. Or maybe he just wants to sit and do nothing. But he pushes himself to go and to learn Torah. That is a tircha. That's an effort. He expounded an effort. So we don't look at that, I got to the base medrash, and what's his mitzvah, he sat down and learned. No. He gets schar for walking to the base medrash. He gets schar for all the effort that he put into getting there. To be mekayim the mitzvah, that never goes away, that remains forever. So on a simple level, what Moshe explains is that the reason that Hashem made this nes, that the flowers should not fall off of the staff, even though the almonds are present, is to show us that, true, the almond, that's the fruit. And the fruit is like a mitzvah. But you should know, when you perform a mitzvah, all of those blossoms, the flowers that were necessary to get that fruit to grow, all the effort and the tzar and the pain that you had to put in to get to the point that you could actually perform that mitzvah, it never goes away. Don't think the only schar is the actual performance of the mitzvah. But there is an incredible schar for all the effort that you put in to getting to that point. To getting to that point that you're able to perform the mitzvah. And that also never goes away. That's a kedusha that remains forever. And as B'nai Torah, I think there's another point we could take away from this. Rav Moshe is talking, in the world of schar, you should realize that all the effort you put in, there's a tremendous schar from that. But I think there's another incredible point as a B'nai Torah we could take away. And that is, as we once mentioned, how Moshe Rabbeinu, when he went up to Har Sinai to receive the Torah, he was there for 40 days. And we learned, we saw Hashem Yishmu quoted a Medrash. And the Medrash said, it said, that Kol Mem Yoim, all 40 days, Sha'asa Moshe Lamala, Haya Laime Torah, he learned Torah for 40 days, Vishay Chayach, and he forgot it. So the Medrash says, Amar, Ribayna Shalaylam. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hashem, Master of the world, Yesh li mem yoim, I've been here for 40 days, ve'en yedei adavar, I don't know a thing. So Medrash says, Ma'asa Kosh Baruch Hu, Ma'ashlim mem yoim, once the 40 days were completed, Nasan li'asa Torah, Matana, Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah as a Matana. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Ve'yitein ha'Moshe, and asked the shame, Mishmuel, then what was the point of the first 40 days then? Why did you need the first 40 days to learn the Torah and to forget it, to learn to forget, to learn to forget? What was it necessary for? And I think it's the same lesson we can learn from the staff of Aram. The Shem Mishmuel says, because don't think that when he learned and forgot, it was all for naught. No, no, no. It made a roshim on him. It made an impression. Every time he learned, he might have forgot. And we can't always see it. We put in effort sometimes, and we can't always see it. True, yeah, there's a scar there. But we can't always see the effect it has on us. As Yidden, we're not about results. In the world out there, it's only about results. Did you make it big or not? It doesn't matter how you got there. It doesn't matter what you do. It's all about results. But by Yidden, it's not the results. It's the effort. It's the process. Because when a person, as we learn, as the Shem Yishmuel teaches us, based on the Medrash, that Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, had to go through that process of learning and forgetting, because it made an effect, it made an impression on him, little by little, day by day, until he was finally a kli, a vessel that was able to be makabel the Torah. He worked on himself day by day. He didn't see it. He might not have saw it, but it was a little change, day by day. He was a different person. Finally, he was able to hold that matana, to accept that matana. And those are the prachim, those are the blossoms, those are the flowers, all that we put in, all the effort we put in to our limud Torah, to our mitzvos. Even though it's true, the fruit is the actual mitzvah. It's the limud Torah. But we need the flowers. There's so much effort we put into getting there. Whether it's pulling yourself out of bed, whether it's pushing yourself to go to the Beis Medrash at night, whether it's waking up early, whatever it is, whether it's when we sit down, we put our phone to the side, we turn it off, or we actually try to understand what we're learning, we sit there and we try to figure it out again, and we read it again, and we read it again. And we think, but who cares? Isn't the point just to know, to be knowledgeable, to know it? And the answer is no. There's a process. There's a process. And that process has a great effect on us. That's why you can say Hashem made the nais of the staff, that even though the almonds were there, that the blossoms remained to show us that all of that effort, all that amelis, all that toil you put into learning that Torah, to doing that mitzvah, didn't just go away. It had an effect and it remains. It changed you as a person. It enabled you to be able to grow. And that's another lesson we learned from the staff of Aram, that even though the almonds had developed, the flowers, the blossoms did not fall away. Because again, the blossoms, the flowers, they represent all the effort, all the tsar, all the pain, everything we schwitz, we sweated to put in, to get to that point that we were able to sit down and to learn that Gemara, to learn that Rashi. It might not have been easy. And we maybe only got through a few lines. But in the end of the day, look at the beautiful fruit. Look at the beautiful fruit, the yummy geschmack fruit. It tastes so sweet. But it was only because the flowers, only because of the effort that we expounded, we put out in order to get to the point of the fruit. But it doesn't go away. All the effort we put in doesn't go away. Just like those blossoms on the staff of Aaron didn't go away. All the effort we put into when we learn Torah, when we do mitzvahs, it doesn't go away. It stays with us. Why does it stay with us? Because we're a different person. When we put in that effort, when we try, we push ourselves. We toil. We become different people. And now as a different person, you take it with you forever. Because you were somebody yesterday who you're not today. You worked on yourself. And you take it with you forever. Because without all of that effort, without all that sorrow, without that pain, it wouldn't have been able to produce the fruits. We're only able to produce that fruit because of all of the effort we put into it. Which means to take all of our efforts, not only to have the schar, but to be a different person, to be a changed person. Right? We're starting the summer, and it's a time where we had some free time maybe in between. Yeshiva ended, people are going to start different things in the summer, whether it's classes, whether it's a job. But now is the time. Now is the time to really to get ourselves into that mode, into a structure, a daily structure of what we're going to learn, of what we want to accomplish. All the blossoms, all the flowers. Now is the time to do it, to get ourselves into that mode that we should be zeichet to see the fruits. We want to be zeichet for the summer to see tremendous fruits. We want to come out with a tree full of fruit. We don't want the fruit that, you know, you go to the store sometimes and you see the bananas and they're all brown and they're banged up. No, we want geshmaka fruits. How do you get geshmaka fruits? How do you get incredible fruits? It's all about the flowers, all about the blossoms. What do your blossoms look like? The blossoms are the effort. It's the melis. It's the toil. When you put in that toil, when you work hard, you get incredible fruits. So let's get in that mode right now before we get too busy, we get too overwhelmed. Let's get in that mode. Let's produce some of those flowers and let's walk away with a summer of incredible fruits. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Stay in touch. Let's continue learning those Mishnayos of Metzia. Don't forget the Mishnah Brura. Let's go. Mechayel, continue to grow over the summer. Have a great Shabbos.